And it, you don't have to necessarily reveal all the information at once. There is a strategy to it, and I don't think that if you don't necessarily have to mandatory, it's not mandatory for you to reveal the information that the DNR is not valid, then if you can kind of, like Cassie did, cox the family through or coach them through until they make a decision, then I think that that's fine because you've gotten what you needed done. But there's no need to, like, piss everyone off.
Cass.
That was great.
Yeah. Our nurse was also, like, created a kind of space for more of an apology when you were saying that, like, you were in the wrong for presenting the DNR order. I don't think people really listened too much or, like, felt that. But it did, like, and what Nicole was saying, there were ways for me to kind of circle back and say, like, I'm sorry how, like, this was presented to you. And I could have made, like, a better, instead of, like, taking it outside and saying something else. Like, I think there was also a way I could have presented it to the parents.
Right.
Or that they still were in the position of making the decision.
Right.
But not legally.
Well, let me approach it. You can be in a minute, Chels. Let me try it this way. First of all, whoever said that, Tania, who said the party playing the role has options. And one of the issues here is, as the risk manager of the hospital, is it really your purpose to try to put the kibosh on a consensual resolution when in fact your issue may be totally irrelevant if in fact the parties don't violate the norm by the dialogue that leads them to the resolution? So that's the underlying rationale for not putting your foot on that from minute number one. It may not be applicable at all. Okay? Now, Katie, you did it a different way, and what we're saying is, had Andem known that you might have been inclined to put that position forward so strongly in the beginning, he would have benefited from a caucus with you ahead of time. But now, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, and I know Chelsea's next, but so I was on the point. I thought I expected the family to be pushing back more. I thought they were going to really want to uphold the DNR. So I thought if they had that conversation with the doctors, and then I jumped in at the end and said, well, actually, you can't do that.
Right.
That they would have been offended that I hadn't been more upfront with them. So by putting it on the table at first, like in retrospect, obviously that was definitely not the best strategy. But at the time, it seemed that I had to be forthcoming with that information, or else really, because that was going to shape the conversation of their options.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but do you agree that you might have shared this problem with the mediator,
definitely,
who then may have managed it differently?
Yeah.
Bridge.
To me, I feel like, in a sense, the way this is set up is a little bit confusing, in that if from the very beginning, the fact that the parents having a DNR is invalid, then what exactly are we mediating? Because the doctors want to keep him alive.
Right.
There's consensus on that.
Right.
The parents have a DNR that's not valid. They're not the healthcare proxy. There was nothing written about the fact that he would need to withdraw care.
Right.
So what are we arguing about?
Okay. I think we can answer that. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say that that's the whole point of mediation.
Exactly.
Right. Is so that
that's a great question.
Sue, and maybe their lawsuit would not go through, but it would
sue on what grounds?
But it doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong.
It's all malpractice.
They weren't communicating. Wait, one at a time. If we are trying to reach a consensual resolution, the utility of that is not limited to situations where a point of view that's being espoused can be made good in a court of law. Meaning, hospitals, caregivers want to have satisfied, happy patients and family members who will come back to that hospital, who will speak nicely about that hospital the way they were treated, the attention they received, the dignity they were accorded, etc., etc., regardless of whether the position that they're taking makes sense or is supportable at the end of the day. They want to be heard. Mm-hmm. So the point of the mediation is for them to be heard. If they understand that the reason why there's not going to be a DNR order isn't because these doctors don't give a flying you-know-what, mm-hmm. but rather because the state of New York says they don't have that power. Mm-hmm. If they're told that or they learn that in a respectful manner, right. they may have a completely different feeling about you as a medical institution than they would have if you just went in there, pounded the table, told them this is none of your business, the law says X, goodbye.
And if you can learn about that it's just a better idea anyway, medically, like, there's a lot of really good reasons and we're actually looking out for him, rather than simply just the law says you can't put a DNR down, like,
I guess what I'm confused about is why was in the very beginning a DNR even allowed to happen?
Yeah, that's that question.
That can happen easily.
Yeah. I could go find a DNR in the hot
yeah.
cabinet.
That's not hard to do. Yeah. Like, sign a DNR order.
And then you think you've done something. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. You're under the impression mm-hmm. that you have signed a valid order. Mm-hmm. Turns out you haven't met the legal requirements. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens in all areas of the law. You know, you have documents, but they're not defensible. You have a premarital prenuptial agreement. Every day you read about prenuptial agreements that are found invalid in the courts. Well, so what's the point of a prenuptial agreement? The point is, if you do it correctly in a manner that's consistent with what's allowed by the law of the jurisdiction, it will be effective. If you don't, it's not going to be effective. Same thing here.
I just wanted to clarify something because I started to get confused. If as the mediator, the sort of tenor of the mediation is going very well, let's say you have caucused and you know that there's this smoking gun that could blow up in your face, right?
Yep.
But the mediation is going such that it was where that was tabled, that wasn't even mentioned, and it's positive and it's going and it's going. You're saying you don't have to even, could you not even bring it up? Like, I started thinking, I don't know that I even would have had the risk manager there. I probably would have just caucused with the family and the doctors, like, as it was unfolding, and, like, if I got this weird feeling from the social worker, or let's say I'd met with the social worker and I knew that that was wacky as well.
Right.
Like, not had the social worker, I don't know about the nurse, I'm iffy because the nurse... Who initiated it?
The nurse.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know about, like, maybe the, like, but if it was going down that role, you don't have to even bring legality.
Well, but the problem is the risk manager may have insinuated herself, or the hospital insinuated the risk manager, and you could conceivably have deflected that in a caucus with the risk manager in which you already agreed of the irrelevance of the legal proposition, save for if the parties at the end of their dialogue were insistent upon a DNR order that was initiated by them. In other words, you could have done it with a caucus, could have dealt with the opting out of the risk manager until a later point in the mediation.
Right, because if you'd caucused and you knew that, you wouldn't have even had the risk manager there.
Look, you don't necessarily control that.
That's what I wanted to ask.
You
have
don't
a choice as the mediator. Who are you employed by? Can the hospital impose on you that the risk manager is present?
Has to be.
The problem is that the hospital policy mm-hmm. may be that in any situations that involve end-of-life care or decisions to terminate treatment, that they automatically have to have the risk manager present. So you can't kick them out, but you can negotiate them out.
Yeah.
Because they're still in the process, but they're not participating in selected parts, just like the other people at the table are not always there.
Could you have then re-caucused with the risk manager and said, like, I know that this is invalid. Can you maybe hold off?
Sure.
And then you re-caucus, and
sure,
that way the risk manager isn't like guns blazing.
Absolutely.
Like, this is invalid.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes, tonight.
But something, when, because we had like two sessions where the risk management said something about the DNR being invalid. The first approach, like, kind of caught me off guard because I was supposed to be the father. But the second approach I felt was really good, which was, this is the law of the state in which we reside, so
right,
this is why it's invalid. It's not like, this is
that's
my
right
perspective.
That's very important,
so
why it's invalid.
Yeah.
Not just that it is,
so
why.
It's like you can't, you don't want to attack that person or
right
the hospital because they're just enforcing something.
Exactly, exactly. Can you also, Dan, explain to them, just in the way that Katie's opener, in her role, kind of set things back,
wow,
how you, what happened in your case,
did
in your role?
Well, okay, well, I was in the other room. I was in the
yeah,
other,
that's so what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, it was,
I was in
the nurse. My opening was just different. I opened as a nurse, and I think I did a poor job at it, but I was just trying to explain that, you know, to the family, hey, I think I made a mistake here, and I was trying to explain, like, you know, you know, we're here to talk about things, and let's talk about what the facts are and what the condition of the patient is, and maybe we won't have to talk about other things, and let's just talk about the facts, and maybe we won't even get so far as to what the legal issues are. Let's concentrate on that, because I think there might be some problems. So I tried to kind of, you know, inoculate it, and
yep,
I think I did a really bad job. And then we got, and then I tried to go into a thing about, you know, this is called bio, because for some reason this one was termed bioethics mediation, and I was like, tried to like talk about that. It was horrible.
The reason is that because, no, the reason it is because it comes from the bioethics mediation text.
Okay. And
that's why
it's
called
that. And I said, but let's not go too crazy about what's ethical and what's not. And she ran with that, and it went down.
Elizabeth, go ahead.
I mean, I think there were some like awkward points to your speech, but I don't think it's as terrible as you're saying. Like, I think it helped, and I think that was one really good thing that Mesa did, was she had Dan start. She was like, I know we're all here in caucus, like, Dan, I know you called it, why don't you explain why you called it? Which was like a good setting the tone of like, let's focus on the medical issues instead of like the legal issues, and that's what we focused on for like the first 5 minutes, and then everyone kind of got on the same page, and there was not much conflict.
Mm-hmm. Becky?
I think the only thing, as we like talk about this a little more, is I know we decided to pull the DNR, so Kathy never really had to talk about the legal aspects, but I also mentioned when we were basically trying to convince my wife that to pull the DNR, I said, well, we could, you know, if his prognosis gets worse, we could always reinstate it. And that was kind of like an option, like left open. Well, if he does get worse, we can reconvene, or, you know, Mesa was like, we'll meet with you again, like, as the parents. And I think, not that we necessarily would have wanted to bring that up, but it is, I mean, the parents would have eventually to have that legal knowledge.
They would.
Is beneficial. So I don't really know how you would work that in there without,
yeah,
you know, like, unless after the mediation we leave, and then like 2 days later, Cassie like comes to talk to us about the legal issues,
yeah,
surrounding having a DNR. You know, saying, well, look, he starts to get worse, you guys need to start gathering evidence, because otherwise you're not going to be able to have it. I don't know how that would
No, but if it starts getting worse, then don't you have a different fact situation,
yeah,
addressing the criteria,
right,
and then the application of the law changes,
yeah,
because if it is an overly great burden or whatever that
sure
fourth category is, then you can meet the standard, Steve.
And I think one way maybe for the mediator to do that would be if, and it might not be that issue, but it could be something else, like if the mediator sees that you've come to an agreement, but there's going to be a big, huge issue a day from now, then maybe, okay, I'm glad we've settled this. There's still one other thing that we should probably discuss, which is what to do in the future if there's a, if you guys
Promise
decide that you do want to have
right
a DNR.
Sure,
can
you can talk about the criteria.
Yeah.
Can you not? And indicate what is required in order to have a party without a healthcare proxy sign a DNR order.
I feel like if I was a parent in this situation, I would have been really upset if we had gone along this whole time saying that, like, oh, we could always, you know, reinstated DNR, right, and no one had said, actually, that's not an option. I feel right. like that seems deceptive.
Right.
I don't know. That.
But wasn't that what he was just addressing?
Yeah, but like waiting till the end, if then even at the end, once we had decided we didn't want a DNR now, but thinking, well, we could always do one later if we wanted, I would be pissed at the end,
right,
because I feel like...
Fair enough. Fair
even
enough.
If I got what I wanted now.
Right.
She brought up, like, medical utility and stuff, so it wasn't totally like, no, you can't have a DNR, just not under...
Under those circumstances.
Yeah. But I just, like,
wait, why are you
even
so
if I got...
Off?
That we had, through the course of the conversation, we had said to ourselves, oh, we could always sign a DNR later. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't said... They hadn't corrected that.
Right.
Like, even if I got what I wanted, right. Like,
well, isn't,
I feel like it's...
I see
seems
what
like
you're saying.
Withholding...
It isn't the way to deal with that. Let's go back again to the idea of the caucus with the risk manager and the mediator. Once that caucus is held and the mediator has been told about these things that she didn't know of before, she's now in a position to handle the matter differently in the global situation and talk about the criteria for DNR orders as though, and this is true, this isn't made up, these criteria, this is fluid. These circumstances and the ability to satisfy those criteria change as the facts change.
Right.
So it would be quite possible to, after that caucus, have the mediator ask the question, are there any restrictions on the use of DNR orders by family members? Yes, there are. Well, perhaps you could help the parents and the physicians become aware of what those criteria are. So rather than saying, no, invalid, what you can say is, for the DNR to attain validity, here are the criteria that
right,
you have
I feel
to
like
satisfy.
That kind of needs to be done at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
at the
I
beginning.
Mean, yeah, I agree with that. If you caucus and know the issues and address it at the beginning, but it seemed like at some points we were saying it could be all right to just see if you never even need to bring that up.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I think the answer is there is a risk in not bringing it up. Meaning, I'm agreeing with you. Some mediators might take that risk. I mean, once again, it's not like we can point to a black letter law and say, this is the rule.
Yeah.
You're going to have to say, well, how am I going to feel if we get to the end of this process and I'm now springing this on them? And by asking the question, you're making your preferences known, mm-hmm. and rightly so. What you're saying is, as a mediator, I would never put myself in that position.
Yeah, because I feel like in addition to possibly just making people angry and blowing up the consensus at the end,
right.
if I was the parent and they said at the end, actually, you couldn't even do a DNR anyway,
right.
I would feel like the mediator was just colluding with the hospital and doctors mm-hmm. the whole and you know
right.
risk manager the whole time to just get me to a point where you didn't need to bring up that I mm-hmm. didn't even have that option.
Even if the problem played out the way it did with Katie, the mediator could, by asking the right kinds of questions, probably get the risk manager to somewhat modify that position by making the kind of inquiry that would generate a response from the risk manager that acknowledged that the criteria are there, but meeting the criteria is a moving target. And so it's not just valid, invalid. It's a question of valid when and under what circumstances. So I think your point is well taken, Tua.
Well, I think like even if the mediator didn't caucus, I think it's important to go around the beginning and get everyone's views, because I think that problem could have been avoided even if it had been presented earlier on in front of everyone. Even if like the mediator didn't know that was going to come up, like everyone would have been on the same page and it wouldn't have been as risky. if yeah. everyone had gone around and like said, like, this is my view. And so everyone at the table knew that. Because
but that's how we, I think that's what we did, actually.
Well, yeah, you, they did
like,
that.
So social worker, like, all, like some of them like came up like later because
yeah, the nurses did.
We, the doctors talked a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, I think that could have worked out well if it had, you know, circumstances had been different, maybe caucus only with the doctors and the parents afterwards, and not had you guys in at all. But I felt like you guys were like risky, like she said, like it was like there are a lot of risks and they didn't come out in the beginning always. And so it was a very like scary situation.
Well, David and Cassie both have comments.
Knowing that issue with the legal aspect, I think it may have been a good way to go about it may have been to kind of get a temperature. And what I, in my role, tried to stress, and this may not have been the case with the same person in my role in other ways as the mother, was I was really worried about pain mm-hmm. and prognosis.
Mm-hmm.
Both and I signed a DNR because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really forcing the DNR down anyone's throat. Like, yeah, I want a DNR. Yeah.
Right.
I was like, I want to know what the hell's going on. That's why I signed the DNR. I walked in and
right.
saw this, and that's why I signed. So I think maybe a way that we could have possibly approached it would have been to go through, maybe get some of that information across the table, ease some of the concerns, and then go to the risk management and say, now, you know, maybe bring up that topic at that point. Because bringing it up right away pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, then what the hell am I here for?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then bringing it up at the end, I take Amy's point very well. Like, let's say I still wanted it. And
yep.
after all that talking, said, well, you can't have it.
Right.
You know,
so neither of those alternatives are optimal. It has to
yeah.
be some blended midpoint
yeah.
to get it right. Cassie.
Yeah, exactly. Early, but kind of gentle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Introduce it.
So when I introduced myself, because we did do the same thing where we went around the room and were asked to like give our views, I said, I mean, I kept it brief because I knew I didn't want to speak too much. And I knew that when I introduced myself, I didn't want to bring up that legal aspect. So I said, I'm Jane Henry. I represent the legal department as a risk manager. Like, my job here is just to ensure that your son is receiving the best quality of care at our hospital, because that really is the legal
mm-hmm.
department's responsibility in a sense. So, I mean, I think playing it that way is still like keeping with the, like, we're trying to uphold a certain standard, but you're not playing the card that we're trying to uphold the law, and we could at some point, I mean, what I was saying, I didn't want to play hardball from the beginning. Like, if I didn't need to.
Well, I think the way you played it was fine. I think what the others are talking about is, even if you played it that way, there probably had to be more done by the mediator to ensure the concerns that are being articulated by Amy and David. And I think that they can coexist.
Yeah.
But fine.
Yeah.
Chelsea?
I just have one quick comment. I just was going to say that, like, you played it that way, but, right, you could have been someone who plays
yeah.
hardball. There
Absolutely.
Are risk managers
yeah, exactly.
who, again, you know, yeah, who just, you know, yeah, they care about the care, really, but they're there to make their six figures and whatever and play hardball. I don't know. You know.
Corbett.
I was just going to say, one of the things I like about these, like, scenarios is that, as a mediator, like, you can throw, like, when I'm playing a role of serve, I get to choose, however, I can be nice or I can be angry, and, like, the mediator still has to figure ways to deal with it, because there are going to be really nice people in the world or really bad people,
mm-hmm.
so, like, when you're playing your role, you can't go wrong.
When do you play nice, Corbin?
Wow. Everybody but Corbin.
Very rarely. It does occasionally happen, but...
No, say that again. I need it.
Oh, my point was, like, when you're playing your role not as a mediator, you can't... Whatever, however you play your role, you can't go wrong.
Oh, you're right about... Yeah, that's...
That's, like, completely way off the wall. Because the mediator is going to have to deal with people who are nice, who are assholes, who
Absolutely.
Are really aggressive, who are not so much... Like,
yeah.
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it matters, but you have no control over that. And so you have to expect anything and everything, which is one of the many things that makes the job so hard.
Mm. Yeah. So Andam gets the big room of the tough players. Yeah.
That's right.
The nice guys are all,
in the other side. Let's back up 10 yards and make another observation that's not specific to the problems in this case. How about the difference between this conversation and what we would have been saying 6 weeks ago, same people, after doing a role play like this? I mean, the nuanced quality of the discussion, the observation level, the fact that different positions are being taken, but yet that people are understanding that the obverse deserves a sort of dignity and respect. People thinking about minor things, altering the possible both outcome and process, the quality of the process, the quality of the outcome, so much more sophisticated comments than I was hearing from you guys a month and a half ago. It's like night and day. So I hope you're aware of that. There's an enormous, enormous difference. And you just want to do as many, even whether it's in role play or it's in the real world, you want to do as much as you can. You want to you just want to throw yourself in there and get your hands dirty with it and immerse yourself in it. This is not something that you do by doing it twice or six times or 30. So you have to do it 1,000 times, you know? And you can't do it. It's just like with a golf swing or a baseball bat. You don't just do it by doing it. You do it by doing it and then doing it critically, self-critically, and with the assistance of others who you trust to be critical in a constructive way and bat around just these kinds of issues. Because at the end of the day, again, I don't have answers as to, if you do it this way, the outcome will always be the right outcome, or the process will unfold majestically. That I can't make those claims, and everyone is indicating to me that they're aware of the reality that on the one hand, they want to control this thing, and they want to get it right. But nobody can actually sit here, me included, and say, but if you do X, Y, and Z, you'll get it right. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why it's not, it's sort of an art, but it is also, it's a process and it's a profession, but it has that element that you can't quite get your arms around to the point where you can just tell people what they did wrong and tell them how to do it right. And that's why you can study it and practice it for your whole life. You're never going to get it right, just like these guys are going to be practicing medicine. Well, they're practicing. They're never going to get it right. They're just practicing. And that's what we're doing. We're just practicing. That's right. And we're, we could be 80 years old and we're still going to just be practicing. All right. So, I'm looking forward to the lecture next week. I'm looking forward to the presentations in the succeeding 2 weeks. But I hope that the part of the course, this middle part, in which we've gotten to have these role play exercises, whets your appetite for more and shows you the reason why we do these intensive courses in which we do nothing but role play after role play after role play with debriefings, and we also videotape at some point so that we can somewhat fine-tune the critiques and also let you see yourself because you know that's always a chastening experience. Very chastening experience.
Oh, I do this with my hair.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Corbett, we need to have the green room for you and a makeup artist. But any other comments or questions about this? Because we're actually a little over time.
No. Yeah.
So I'll see everybody next week.
Sorry, I thought I needed to be a